come to the time of our worship of the preaching of God's Word. So I'd invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. That's Genesis chapter 22. And we'll be looking at verses 1 through 14 this morning. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14. We've been working our way through the book of Hebrews, and it has been a great study. I praise God for it, and I praise God that we're working through that book. And we've just finished up Hebrews chapter 11, and our brother Alan has done a great job preaching through Hebrews chapter 11 for us. And I often say that I try to watch what the Lord's doing. I try to watch what the Lord's doing. I try to see what He's teaching us, see where He's leading us, and watch what He's doing and jump in. So I want to see where He's going, see what He's doing, and jump into that and be a part of that. And so in our men's meeting on Saturday mornings, our men's breakfast, in Sunday school, and Alan's preaching, the Lord has been teaching us about faith. He's been teaching us about faith. And He's been teaching us what I call a faith with feet. A faith with feet. A faith that moves. A faith that acts. A faith that has action to it. And so I want to look at Genesis chapter 2 to kind of piggyback off what our brother Alan has been preaching and teaching us in Hebrews 11 about Abraham and his faith. We saw in Hebrews 11 that Abraham was a man of faith. And so I want us to look at that this morning and see the context of what it looks like for Abraham and his faith. So to get the context of that, we must remember that God chooses Abraham. He makes covenants with Abraham. God tells Abraham that his offspring will be a great nation. His offspring will be the people who live their lives for the Lord. God says that through Abraham, God will build His kingdom. Well, Abraham and his wife, we know, takes matters into their own hands. They're old. They're older. They can't have children. So Abraham takes his wife's servant, has a child with her. But that is not what God intends. So God, even in their old age, gives Abraham and Sarah a son. The son is the heir to Abraham's family. And this son will be the one that God will use to usher in our Savior. Okay, so this is the son Abraham has waited all of his life for. This is the one that Abraham has looked for. He's wanted a son. God finally gives him a son. And that son is the one whom Abraham loves deeply. Okay, so that's kind of the context. So let's pick it up in Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Let's read that this morning. It says, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father, he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place of the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you again for this time that we can gather to worship you. Lord, I pray that as we continue our worship through the preaching of your word, Lord, that it will be glorifying to you. God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. The Lord is going to test Abraham. First thing right off the bat, we can get some application here. The Lord tests his people. So often we want to hear about a God who wouldn't ever do that, who would never test his people. A God would never put us through a test. God saves us, he calls us to himself, and he sends us out, and he blesses us, and he gives us many spiritual blessings, and we think that's good, and we love God for doing that. But so often, God does test us. And we see here him testing his servant, Abraham. And he calls out to his servant, and Abraham answers. And again, to know the voice of the Lord, to hear and know when he is speaking to you. And how does the Lord speak to us today? Again, we discussed this morning in Sunday school, and I had a discussion with my wife this week about the Lord speaking to us. So often when I've witnessed to people, when I've spoke to people, often people say, if God would just speak to me, I would listen. But you know what? God sent his very own son to this earth to live on this earth and to speak the very words of God. And what did the people do to him? Did they listen to him? No, they crucified him. But yet God still speaks to us today. God speaks to us today through his word. We don't have to hear audibly from God. If you want to hear from God, read his word. As I said earlier, if you want to hear God speak audibly to you, read his word out loud, and you will hear God speak. We are a people of the word. We should be in the word daily. We should be reading the word daily. We should be listening and learning from the Lord daily through his word. Abraham had a relationship with God. And when God spoke to Abraham, Abraham listened. He said, Here I am, Lord. Abraham had such a close relationship that he knew when God was calling him. And so he replies, Here I am. Let's see what God says to Abraham as we continue. Verse 2. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the mountain and offer him there as a burnt offering. Wow. First we see that God calls Abraham to do this, and we see that he calls him to do this now. Go. Take your son, your only son. There's no waiting around. There's no waiting until tomorrow, or even waiting until after lunch, or waiting till I'm done with my busy schedule. He says, go now. Second, we see that God calls him to take his son, not a lamb or a bull or even two doves or birds. So I want to ask us to put ourselves in his shoes. God calls us in the morning and tells us to make an offering. No big deal, right? Make an offering, especially when we lived in this time, during this time. That was a custom. They made offerings, a tradition. Make burnt offerings to God. But now God calls Abraham to take his son. Okay, God, my son. Hang on, I got another son. I got Ishmael. I'll go find him. I'll send him away, but I'll go find him. I'll go take him and I'll offer him up as a burnt offering. Even that sounds ridiculous. Really? Right. I mean, it sounds ridiculous. But God says, he's specific. He says, no, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Verse 3. So Abraham goes. He begins the journey, right? He takes off. He saddles his donkey. He gathers the wood. He heads out. We don't see Abraham questioning God, his mind and our minds. Hey, if I do this, I'll be known as a crazy man. If I take my son and offer him as a sacrifice, I will be known as a crazy man. I could be killed. I could be put to death. I would be known as a murderer. Also think of what would happen when he tells his wife after he returns what happened to her son. And what happened to her son at his hands. How would she respond? What will their relationship be from that moment on? All these things could be going through Abraham's mind, but we don't read any of it. We don't see any of it. All we see is that Abraham, he gets up and he goes. He moves. He responds. And in verse 4, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. When we really read this verse and understand, this was a 3-day journey. He took his son and he traveled to the mountain to sacrifice his son as a burnt offering, and it took him 3 days. That would be terrible for me. Terrible. 3 days? You have 3 days to go and you have this stuck in your mind what you're about to go do? Going 3 days thinking the whole time that I'm about to go here and offer up my son as a burnt offering. This had to be trying on his faith. Do you think he questions the whole time? You think he questioned this in his mind? Like, what am I doing? My son is walking with me. He's talking with me. We're having this conversation. We're headed, and I'm going to sacrifice him. You think while on this journey, Abraham might look over at his son and think of the love that he has for him and then weep over him and weep for what was about to take place? Verses 5 and 6. Then Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. Here we see Abraham, which was custom, telling his servants to stay back, to stay behind while he and his son goes up to worship. And I love the faith that we see in this verse. Abraham says they will come back. They will come back to them again. Abraham, I believe, deep down in his heart, I believe that he knew if he sacrificed his son, his only son, that God would raise him up again. He believed either God would bring a substitute, that would be a substitute for his son in being sacrificed, or he would raise his own son up again. Think about that word substitute for a moment. That would be a substitute. Someone else would take the place of his son. But he still had to be faithful to what God called him to do. He still had to be faithful and he still had to go through with it. So he still had to go and do what God required of him. So he takes the fire, the wood, and his son, and he heads up the mountain. Verse 7. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father, and he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where's the lamb for that burnt offering? I love this. So they head up the mountain, and the boy asks his father, where's the lamb? There's so much in this verse that we could really talk about and find application in. So we have the fire, we have the knife, but where's the lamb? Isaac knew very well that a lamb needed to be sacrificed, and it was missing. Isaac knew the proper way to worship God. Isaac knew the proper way to worship God. And as we talked about this morning, there are right ways to worship God and wrong ways. Abraham's son Isaac knew the right way and what was needed to worship God. So often today, we want to and we think that we can worship God our way. I will worship God this way. I feel better worshiping God this way than that way. And as I said earlier, if God is a holy God and a righteous God, and he demands holiness and righteousness from his people, and God commands in his word for us to worship him in a certain way, I think as people who follow the Lord, we should listen. Maybe that's just me. But if God calls us to worship him a certain way, and that certain way is the right way, I don't think we can come before God and say, you know what, I hear you, but really I'd rather worship you this way. If we told our sons as fathers, I need you to do this, and I need you to do it in a specific way, and our sons say to us, you know what, Dad, I hear you, but I would rather, and I'm going to do it this way because I think it's better. How would most of us as fathers respond to that? Not very well. But yet we think we can do that with God, and that's okay. We think we can worship God however we want, and we can say, well, this is just the way I worship God. You can worship God your way, but I'm going to worship God this way, and we think it's okay. And I want to tell you here, God requires us to worship him a certain way. And we need to know that way, and we need to worship God that way. Also, we see here that when Abraham, his son Isaac, calls out to him, Abraham answers him the same way that he answered God. So we see that relationship with God and Abraham, but we see that flows out to the relationship with Abraham and his son. He says, here I am, son. What do you need? You have a question. Fathers, we need to be there for our kids. When our kids ask us questions, we need to be there to listen. So often, when we come with our kids, we get into a busy schedule. We're really busy in life. We have a lot of things going on. And sometimes our kids can come up to us. I've been guilty of it. And say, hey, Dad, I need to ask you something. And I say, okay, hang on. I got something else going on. I'll get back to you. And then guess what? I never do. So then our kids, you know what they're going to do? They're going to go somewhere else to get those answers that they're looking for. And they should be coming to you. So often we need to drop things and listen and spend time with our kids. Abraham had a relationship with Isaac. Isaac says, Father, he says, here I am. And he asks him a very important question. He asks him about worship, right? We are here to worship. There's something missing. We need something here. He notices and he listens and he answers his son. Verse 8. Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. Abraham responds, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. Do you think this is prophetic? How did Abraham know this? God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. Nothing we do, nothing we offer can make us right with God. Even if Abraham would have sacrificed his own son on that mountain, it would not have atoned for his sins. It would not have made him right with God. Nothing we bring, nothing we offer. We can offer our kids, we can offer our lives, we can offer these things, but nothing can make us right with God. He must offer. He must bring a substitute. He brings the lamb. No matter how much wood we bring, no matter how much fire, how hot the fire is, no matter how sharp the knife, we can't do anything with the Lamb of God. We have nothing to offer. But whatever we have, we must be willing to let it go. Whatever we have, we must be willing to offer it. And Abraham was. Verse 9. When they came to the place to which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Try to imagine this. Try to put yourself in this picture, in his shoes. You tie up your son. You place the wood there. You're looking into the eyes of your son as you bind him up to offer him up as a sacrifice. The son that you love deeply. You look over your child that is about to die at your hands. We can't fathom it. We can't understand it. I don't think any of us can really grasp the feelings going on here with Abraham and his son. And now the time has come. Verse 10. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Everything is prepared. Everything is ready. And now Abraham must complete the sacrifice. Now imagine sitting there with a knife. You're about to cut the throat of your son. Think of how many times Abraham had to look away and maybe come back. I've got to do this. God's called me to do this. This is my son. I love him. He's bound. I have to do this. No, hang on. I'm not ready. Wait a minute. God's called me to do this. I have to do this. You come back to your son. I have to do this. Maybe you love on him. You kiss him and tell him over and over how much you love him. You try to muster up the faith to do it. So then you take the knife and you raise your hands, and this time you're ready. You've got to do it. So you raise the knife and you put it to his throat. And then verse 11. Praise God for verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he says, here I am. The angel of the Lord appears. As George Whitfield calls him, the Lord of angels, Jesus Christ, appears. Abraham, just as he's getting ready to cut the throat of his son. Wait, stop, hold up. Hang on. Verse 12, he says, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. This faith was now lived out. This faith had feet. He took his son. He traveled 3 days. He put him on the altar to sacrifice him. Abraham was obedient to the Father and was willing to give up his own son. Abraham's faith was tested. Abraham's faith was tried. The Lord was testing him and drawing him closer to God. And Abraham responded in faith. He feared the Lord more than he feared sacrificing his own son. He feared the Lord, and that healthy fear of God always results in obedience. Okay, I want to say that again. He feared the Lord, and that healthy fear of God always results in obedience. Abraham was willing to give up his only son, the one he loved, but he didn't have to. Why? Verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. God provided a substitute. God provided a substitute to take the place of Isaac. You know, we may look upon this story and think of the faith Abraham had and marvel. But this is not so much about Abraham and his faith as it is about our God and his love. If you admire Abraham and his faith for offering up his son Isaac, how much more should you extol and magnify and adore the love of God, who so loved the world that he did give up his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Abraham didn't have to give up his son. That was a substitute. And who was a substitute ultimately for us? God gave up his only begotten son. He did offer him as a sacrifice. The Lord that loves us, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from us. Abraham was God's creature, and God was Abraham's friend. We see that relationship, and therefore under the highest obligation to surrender Isaac. But oh, the stupendous love, while we were still enemies with God, as we read earlier, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, that we might become he might become a curse for us. The freeness, as well as the infinity of the love of God, our Father, it is unsearchable. It's hard contemplating it, and it's hard explaining it, that God loved us so much that he did give up his son. I think Whitfield again said it's past finding out. You can't figure it out on your own. You can't come up with this on your own. You can't say, oh, yeah, I understand it. Yeah, I got it. Think. Think of the love of God in giving Jesus Christ to be a propitiation for our sins. And when you hear how Abraham built an altar and laid the wood in order and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood, think of how your heavenly Father bound Jesus Christ, his only son, and offered him up upon the altar of his justice and laid upon him the iniquities of us all on the cross. Abraham did not have to go through with it because God did. So when you read of Abraham stretching forth his hand to slay his son, think how God actually offered his son to be slain that we might live forever. And we are called to look by faith. Behold the blessed Jesus, the all-glorious Emmanuel, not bound but nailed on a cursed tree. See how he hangs, crowned with thorns, and all the people mocking him. See how the thorns pierced him, and how the blood trickles down his sacred temples. Abraham was just offering up his son as a sacrifice. Think of what Jesus went through for us. See how he bows his head. And at length, his humanity giving up his spirit. Isaac was saved, but Jesus, the God of Isaac, dies. A ram is offered up in Isaac's place, but Jesus has no substitute. Jesus must bleed. Jesus must die. God the Father provided his lamb for himself from all eternity. He must be offered up in time, or man would be damned forever. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. As we read earlier, for one would scarcely die for a righteous man or a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare to even die. I love the way Paul says that. One might die for a good guy, or even maybe for a righteous guy. But you know what? We're neither one of those. We're neither good nor righteous. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. He says one might die for his friends, right? But we, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. We were enemies with God. We hated God. Yet he still died for us. He still sacrificed his only begotten son for us. We were saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Again, that sacrifice would not have done anything. He needed a substitute. Therefore, God sent forth his only son to die for us. This is the gospel. This is the only way in which we can stand before a holy and righteous God. This is the only way through this gospel that we can be obedient to what God calls us to do. We cannot, and so often we try to get the cart before the horse. Well, I will start trying to do better. I will learn to do better. I will work at it. I will get cleaned up. And then I'll start coming to church, and maybe God will accept me then. It will never happen. You can't. You can't atone for your own sins. You can't clean yourself. Only the righteous blood of Christ covers our sin. And only in that can we then be obedient to God, answer his call, and live for him. Because God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love in which he loved us, even while we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved through faith, and raised up with him, seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show his immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That's how he shows us how gracious he is, how merciful he is, how amazing his grace and his gifts are. Only through Christ do you receive those. For by grace you have been saved through faith, the faith we see Abraham live out. It's not your own doing. It's a gift of God. Again, not a result of works, so that no man may boast. So in order to have faith, to live out our faith, to look to Abraham, as we call often, Father Abraham, the one who had faith. And in order to live that out, we must repent of our sins and trust Christ. We must trust what he accomplished on the cross, that he accomplished for us. We repent. We turn from our sins. We put our faith in him. We trust him. And in that, we are obedient to him, as Abraham was. We follow him closely. We hear him call. We are his sheep then, and we follow him when he calls us. So I ask you today, repent of your sins. Trust Christ. Turn from your wicked ways. Trust him. Put your faith in him. He's calling you today. Listen, repent, trust. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you that we see the faith of Abraham. Lord, thank you that we also see that you provided a substitute, that you did not withhold your only begotten son, but that you offered him up as a sacrifice for many. Lord, I ask that you give us faith, that you grow our faith, that you draw us closer to yourself through the shed blood of your son, Jesus. Draw us, cleanse us of our sin. Lord, help us hear your voice. Give us ears to hear, hearts to perceive, and help us follow you daily. And Lord, if there is someone here that doesn't know you, draw them to repentance and faith this morning. And I pray these things in your son's name. Amen.